Hello, and thanks for tuning in to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Today's message is presented by Ken Holsberry, the preaching minister at the 10th and Broad Church. Let's tune in now for Ken's message.
Well, we are continuing this morning in our series called One Hit Wonders. We're looking at books in the Bible. There are five of them that only have one chapter, and we've looked at Obadiah, and we've looked at Philemon, and we've looked at Second John. Today, we're going to be in Third John. It's the shortest letter in the New Testament. Also, many people say it's the most personal letter in the New Testament because in these few short verses, John mentions three people by name, and he kind of spells out the good, the bad, and the ugly. I'm going to focus on the good this morning, and we're going to look at this one-hit wonder, 3 John, and see what we can learn about from a man named Gaius about how to live a faithful and a productive and a constructive part, being a faithful and productive part of the family of God. So continue to worship, encourage the people around you this morning, and lift up your praise to God. Well, would you hear the word of the Lord this morning from the third letter of John? This letter is from John, the elder. I'm writing to Gaius, my dear friend, whom I love in the truth. Dear friend, I hope all is well with you and that you're as healthy in body as you are strong in spirit. Some of the traveling teachers recently returned and made me very happy by telling me about your faithfulness and that you are living according to the truth. I could have no greater joy than to hear that my children are following the truth. Dear children, dear friends, you are being faithful to God when you care for the traveling teachers who pass through, even though they're strangers to you. They've told the church here of your loving friendship. Please continue providing for such teachers in a manner that pleases God. For they're traveling for the Lord, and they accept nothing from people who are not believers. So we ourselves should support them so that we can be their partners as they teach the truth. I wrote to the church about this, but Diotrephes, who loves to be the leader, refuses to have anything to do with us. When I come, I will report some of the things that he is doing and the evil accusations he is making against us. Not only does he refuse to welcome the traveling teachers, he also tells others not to help them. And when they do help, he puts them out of the church. Dear friend, don't let this bad example influence you. Follow only what is good. Remember that those who do good prove that they are God's children, and those who do evil prove that they do not know God. Everyone speaks highly of Demetrius, as does the truth itself. We ourselves can say the same for him, and you know we speak the truth. I have much more to say to you, but I don't want to write it with pen and ink, for I hope to see you soon, and then we will talk face to face. Peace be with you. Your friends here send their greetings. Please give my personal greetings to each of our friends there. Such a personal letter to a man named Gaius, mentions another man named Diotrephes and a man named Demetrius. And again, I want us to read the letter this morning and draw out of it some things that we can learn specifically about Gaius, about being a faithful and productive and contributing part of God's family. So what do we know about Gaius? I just want to work through this letter just verse by verse. Verse 1 says, I'm writing to Gaius, my dear friend, whom I love in the truth. And so we know, first of all, that he's John's friend. John has a relationship with this guy. He's John's friend. John loves him. So I want you to think about people in this room who are your friends, who you love. We know that about Gaius. We know also he's a believer because John loves him in the truth. John loves him as a brother in Jesus Christ. John goes on, "Dear friend, I hope all is well with you and that you are as healthy in body as you are strong in spirit." I think a better translation of that word spirit would be soul. There's a Greek word. It's where we get the word psyche. And it literally has in its meaning this idea of that part of you that is God-breathed. And it encompasses your mind, your thoughts. It encompasses your heart, your feelings. It encompasses who you are as a person that God created you to be. And so I love here that John, writing to Gaius, connects his body and his soul and says, "I hope that you're doing as well in body as you're doing in your soul." See, what we're going to read as we continue on, Gaius is doing well in his soul. He is being made into the image of Jesus. He is walking with Jesus. He's doing well in his soul. And there's a connection between how you're doing in your soul and how you're doing in your body, because you are one that God has created. I could do a whole different sermon there, but I won't. But I love that thought that is just embedded in that verse. So John hopes his body is doing as well as his soul. Verse 3 says, "Some of the traveling teachers recently returned and made me very happy by telling me about your faithfulness and that you are living according to the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are following the truth." So what do we know about Gaius? We know Gaius believes the truth. He was presented with the truth about Jesus Christ, and he believed it. He was presented with the truth of the gospel that Jesus came and that he lived and that he died on a cross and he was buried for 3 days and he was raised to life and he ascended. He heard that message, that truth that was preached, and he believed it. So Gaius is faithful. Not only does he believe the truth, but Gaius is faithful to that truth. He is keeping the commands of Jesus. He is living his life according to the truth that he has been taught. He is allowing his life to be shaped by the gospel of Jesus Christ. So Gaius is, I'm going to say, he's a believer. We've already seen that. I'm going to say Gaius is a disciple. Gaius is a disciple. He is being made into the image of Jesus. And more, I hear a distinction being made among churches between Christians and disciples. Now the Bible generally calls people who follow Jesus disciples, like over 200 times. Just a few times are they called Christians. We generally have used the word Christian, but really the word Christian has become very watered down. It has kind of become the lowest common denominator. If you just generally say, "Yeah, I believe in Jesus," you call yourself a Christian. But Gaius is more than just somebody who says, "Yeah, I believe in Jesus." Gaius is living his life in the context of Jesus. A disciple is somebody who is so much more than just a believer. A disciple believes in Jesus, but they are more than that. They are obedient to the teachings of Jesus. And we saw in John's second letter that John makes this great case for the fact that truth and love and obedience are all wrapped up together. And if you love Jesus, then you're going to be obedient to his truth. That is who Gaius is. That's the kind of disciple that Gaius is. He's obedient and he's faithful to the teachings of Jesus. A disciple is also shaped by the gospel that they believe in. They begin to live out that gospel. We saw that in Philemon. Paul didn't preach the gospel in Philemon. He actually lived the gospel by saying, "I will pay his debts." And so a disciple is someone who is shaped by the gospel. And again, in our culture, in our time, you can call yourself a Christian. Most people who call themselves Christians and say, "Yeah, I go to church," most of those people go to church once every 4 Sundays. So you can call yourself a Christian and be with other Christians maybe once a month. But a disciple is someone who is coming under the authority of Jesus. Someone who is shaping their life not based on their feelings, not based on their desires, not based on the ways of the world, but based on the truth of Jesus Christ. And a disciple is somebody who is making other disciples. A Christian is somebody who goes to church and hopes their kids grow up to go to church too. But a disciple is on mission with Jesus, obeying his last command to go and make disciples. So Gaius is a disciple in every sense of the word. And there's nothing that gives John greater joy. John's an old man, and he has known this church for quite a while. Now, I'm not ready to call myself an old man, but I've known this church for quite a while, 27 years. And I've had the privilege of being with you in what I call the sacred moments of life. To be with you at the births, at the marriages, and at the deaths. To be with you on the phone when something has happened. That's a privilege to me, to get to share my life with you and to get to share your life. I'm old enough now that I've been there now for the weddings of some of the people. I was there for the births. I've grieved with you and you've grieved with me. And folks, I can tell you, there's few things that give me greater joy than to see you doing well in body and in soul. There's few things that give me greater joy than seeing you make decisions based on what you believe and have been taught about Jesus. There's fewer things that give me joy than to see you being obedient and living your life and being on mission with Jesus. Fewer things that give me joy than to see you becoming a disciple who is making more disciples. So I understand what John is saying here when he says, oh, there's just few things that give me more joy, because I feel that joy for you. And I love you like John loved Gaius. He goes on in verse 5, dear friend, you're being faithful to God when you care for the traveling teachers who pass through, even though they're strangers to you. They have told the church here of your loving friendship. Gaius is a believer. Gaius is a disciple. Gaius is a hospitable, friendly servant. That's what I draw out of those verses. He is a hospitable, friendly servant. And the verse says that that's one of the ways that we show our faithfulness to God. To be hospitable, to be friendly, to be a servant. Gaius, what I would see there is Gaius is focusing his life on other people and not on himself. Gaius is opening his home to other people. Some of them he doesn't even know. They're strangers, but he knows they've been sent by John. Gaius is opening his life by helping them, by serving them. And Gaius has become their friend. It goes on to say, please continue providing for such teachers in a manner that pleases God. Keep doing what you're doing, Gaius. It's pleasing to God. Keep being a hospitable, friendly servant. Keep doing that. For they're traveling for the Lord, and they accept nothing from people who are not believers. So we ourselves should support them so that we can be their partners as they teach the truth. So Gaius is a believer. He's a disciple. He's a hospitable, friendly servant. And Gaius is a partner in the gospel. By helping and by supporting these traveling preachers and missionaries, we become partners with them. Partners in the gospel. And I think it's really appropriate that we get to do this on the last Sunday that the Rollins are here with us. Because they would tell you, in fact, they told us last week, that we are their partners in the mission, in the ministry that they're doing in Guelph. You are partners with the Rollins, and I praise God for you and for that partnership. But what amazes me is we're not just partners with the Rollins. You, church, you're partners with Jeremy and with Jenny as they serve and minister at M4C on the campus of Midwestern State. You are partners with Emily and the gospel work that's being done on campuses in the Metroplex. You're partners with Andy Johnson and the work he does at Mission Resource Network to support and help missionaries around the world. You're partners with Aniel and with Elvi and Moisa. That's a lot of partnering. And I praise God that that's the kind of people that you are. That's the kind of church that you are. You partner with all of those folks. You do it in your prayers. Don't ever, ever, ever discount the power of the partnership of prayer. You do it as you're a partner as you give sacrificially. You are a partner literally like Gaius has been, as many of you over the last few weeks have had the Rollins into your home. You were hospitable, friendly servants. That's a lot of partnering. And God bless you. And I mean that personally. God bless you for your partnership in the gospel with these missionaries and disciple makers. And we got to keep it up for two reasons. Verse 6, it pleases God. And verse 7, if we don't do it, who is? The world doesn't support mission work. That's the job of the church. That's the responsibility that God has given us. And so we got to keep doing that. So what do we know about Gaius? He's a disciple of Jesus. He's growing and he's maturing in body and in soul. He's hospitable. He's friendly. He's a servant. He's a partner in the gospel. And that's who we want to emulate. That's who we want to copy. If we want to be faithful, productive, contributing parts of God's family. Now, there's another guy mentioned here, Diotrephes. He also is a believer. He's a Christian. He's a part of this church. He has influence in this church, but he is not using his influence for the good of others. He's using his influence for his own good. Here's what John says, I wrote to the church about this, but Diotrephes, who loves to be the leader, don't you just know there is a lot packed into that little phrase? He refuses to have anything to do with us. Can you imagine the arrogance of somebody who would refuse to have anything to do with John the apostle? When I come, I'll report some of the things he's doing and the evil accusations he's making against us. Not only does he refuse to welcome the traveling preachers, he also tells others not to help them. And when they do, he puts them out of the church. If I had one word from what I can read here about Diotrephes, it would be he is egocentric. Diotrephes is about Diotrephes. And he's using what power and influence he has in the church of Jesus Christ to benefit himself and to get more power and influence. And I don't want to spend any more time on Diotrephes because I want us to be like Gaius. And I'm thankful I really don't know any Diotrephes here. And I praise God for that. Gaius is who we want to emulate. If I had to sum up the difference in the two men, really, it's just who is your focus? Diotrephes is about himself. And we know folks like that. But Gaius is about Jesus and other people. That's who Gaius seems to be. He's about Jesus. He's about other people. And that really, folks, is the big question for us, for every single one of us. Is your life about you? Or is your life about Jesus and other people? See, Jesus came. He didn't just teach that. He didn't just do a sermon on that. Jesus lived that out. That is what he demonstrated to us. his whole life was about pleasing his Father and doing his Father's will and serving and saving people. That's what Jesus did. And he was with these 12 guys and a whole lot of other people for 3 years, and he discipled them to be about God, about Jesus, and about other people. And it took a while for them to get it, didn't it? And they got it sometimes and they didn't get it sometimes. But after he ascended and the Holy Spirit came, they got it. And they went and they lived it. And those apostles went and planted churches, and they discipled people like Gaius in those churches. And they taught them to be about Jesus and to be about other people. And to be less and less about themselves, to die to themselves, to be alive in the Spirit to Jesus and to other people. And in this short little letter, that's what John affirms in Gaius. And folks, it's what I want to affirm in you. Thank you. Thank you for being about Jesus and for being about other people. And I know that as you sit there, there are some of you who think, I want to do better. There are some of you who know I really should do better. I want to grow in that. I want to be more and more like Jesus and like the apostles. And so thank you, first of all, for the fact that you're doing this. But if you want to be an even more faithful and productive and contributing part of God's family, just choose one part of Gaius' life and take one step. See, it doesn't have to be the whole hog all at once. Just take one step. Just become more of a disciple who's being more obedient. Maybe there's an area of your life you just know you need to be more obedient to Jesus. Maybe you just need to start shaping your life more around the gospel. Maybe you need to start discipling someone else. We're going to talk about some very practical ways to do that in just a few weeks. Maybe you just need to be more hospitable. Maybe you just open up your home, the home God's blessed you with, and have somebody else over. Build a relationship. Maybe you just need to be more friendly. Maybe that's something you can do, or find a way to serve. Or maybe your step could just be, I'm going to partner more. I'm going to pray more. Or I'm going to give more. I'm going to, however it is. Just as if you want to grow in that, just find one thing that you can do this week to be more like Gaius, who is more like John, who is more like Jesus. Would you pray with me? Father, I sincerely thank you for this church, for the people who make up this church, who have put their faith in Jesus, who have been baptized into his life and his death and his resurrection, who are filled with his Spirit, who are washed in his blood, who you have called out and saved. We are the church in this place, in this city, along with many, many others who belong to you. But for those of us who are here, I thank you, Lord. I thank you for these people. I thank you for their love for you and their love for each other and their love for their neighbors and their family and their fellow students and their fellow workers and their neighbors. And so, Father, I thank you for these people and for the ways that they are like Gaius, who was like John, who was like you. It all points back to you. I pray that you would bless these folks, Lord, in body and in soul. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.